Let us pray. Lord, you are our friend and our King. We desire to know you better, to find your peace and joy in our lives. Be with us now. Speak to us and change us. May the thoughts of our minds and these words be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when Tim and I were about 25 years old, we took a Bible study class in our church. We were going to the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor, and it was a two-year class. And we were, with 20 other people, we read through the entire Bible, and we were looking at the overarching themes that tied the Old Testament and the New Testament together. And also, we were memorizing the different passages, where they were found. Not so much the actual passage itself, but we thought, oh yeah, where's that passage? Then you can probably find it quickly. And also, we were memorizing the basic themes of each Bible book. So what rests in my head today is very small compared to what I can remember when I was 25, but there still are a few passages that stick. And one of those passages that has stuck is the Genesis 12 passage. It's a very important passage. And here it is again. So this is a pivotal passage. When we look at the Bible passage, first thing, it's good to familiarize yourself a little bit with it, looking at the structure and at the words and who is speaking and who is listening and what kind of a passage it is. So who is speaking here? This is open to anybody. Who's speaking? God is speaking. And what kind of a passage is it? So, like a narrative. Yeah, it's sort of conversation. Okay, and he's speaking to Abraham. And I'll probably say Abraham today because I'm just so much used to saying Abraham, which is his name later, a few chapters later. Okay, so does anyone see any structure? The structure is there's seven phrases, and you've got the mark there. And seven is a very important number in the Bible. Does anyone know what seven represents in the Bible? It's a number of completeness. When you have seven, it's complete. And so that's just a heads up that this is a very important passage that you need to pay attention to. Whoever wrote it down is not doing, did things intentionally. And then you look at the words that are repeated. And so as our word of the day is bless or blessing. And so you see a bless, blessing, bless, bless, bless all through the passage. And then there are three things that are promised. Oh, I went backwards. I'm very sorry. Boom. Boom. There you go. Can't see that one so well on the blue background, but I will make you into a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. So there's three promises. And then there are some responsibilities at the end. Why do you get these blessings? You get them so that you will be a blessing to other people. So this is the beginning of the overarching love story of God. Love for his creation and love for humankind. It's this unfolding story of restoration and healing for the world. Up to this point, we have the creation where everything's fine in the garden and everything goes bad with disobedience, and then Adam and Eve are pushed out, and then we have murder that comes into the stories, and then everybody wants to be like God, and they build a tower, and we've got the Tower of Babel, and then everything's just horrible, so there's the flood, and we start all over. And after the flood, there's a genealogy, and that's where Abram and Sarah are introduced. And they're just ordinary folk. They are no different than anyone else, but they have an extraordinary task and adventure ahead of them. So God's plan to heal and restore humanity back to himself starts here with Abram and Sarah. He tells them to leave their home, leave everything that they know, everything that they love and cherish, and follow him to the promised land. You can't help but see the parallels between the thousands of refugees that are also going after their version of their promised land But that's not the focus of this morning. Abram and Sarah believe God, and they are probably the best examples of what it is to have faith. They embark on their journey, and despite substantial odds against them of ever becoming great or a numerous nation, they go. Being 75 years old, when they start well past the childbearing age, it seems that they have very little chance of success. On a side note, that does give hope to those of us who are nearing retirement age or maybe have already retired, that it only gets better after 75 when you're walking in the will of God. So, but again, that's not the focus of this morning. So God will bless Abraham and his offspring. But why? It's so that they, his children, his descendants, will be a blessing to all peoples of the earth. So who are the children of Abraham? As we know, there are three major faiths that come from Abraham's children. We have the Judaism, we have Christianity, and we have Islam. The physical descendants of Abraham, we have the Judaism, comes from Isaac, and then we have Islam, who comes from the offspring of Ishmael, who was Abraham's firstborn. And then we have the spiritual descendants, and that's us here, because we believe in Christ, who is a Jew, who is God's son, who has transformed our relationship with God, and through belief in him, we are adopted into the descendants of Abraham as well. So there are three faiths that have the same origin. And because we come from the same origin, we do share some values and beliefs. I just have a list there of what we do share coming from Abraham. And here at the bottom you see that there's show mercy and seek reconciliation and forgiveness. Yes, these are all part of the three faiths. And it is the heart and soul of the Christian faith shown to us by Jesus. All three faiths are called to be a blessing. All children of Abraham are to live in the promised land. All three faiths are blessed, and all three carry this responsibility to be a blessing to the world. It is undeniable that there are many passages in the Old Testament that seem to give Israel exclusive right to the blessing and the land. And even if you interpret the Bible that way, just as I mentioned, there is a serious responsibility of being a blessing to all people, not just themselves. As the Old Testament progresses, as many rabbis have pointed out, in the writings of the prophets, especially Isaiah, the reader will see that the blessing is again expanded to all of Abraham's children, not just one lineage. To be a blessing to all nations, one must be obedient to God. To be obedient to God, you may remember in a passage by Micah, it is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God, which is not the current state of affairs today in Israel-Palestine. It is human nature. Oh, at this point, I want to remind you that when I preach, I'm always preaching to myself. This is what I'm working on in my mind. This is things that I'm struggling with. So I'm included in absolutely everything that I'm saying today. It is human nature and common to all people. It's not specific to any faith or culture to focus on the blessing without the responsibility that comes with it. It is human nature to define what we don't know, what we don't understand, or what we're fearful of as the other. That it's not us, but it's them. It's human nature to build up walls to keep away what we don't know or understand or we fear. These walls can be visible or invisible. Israel has built a massive wall, and it's easy to point the finger at them. But you may remember what I said before Christmas when I came back from my short trip to Palestine, Israel, that when you point the finger, there are three fingers pointing back at you. when we react to situations by drawing lines and building walls between ourselves and other people, we cease to be a blessing. We cease to follow Christ. We cease to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. So for a moment, let's just dare to imagine what the world would look like if we all worked together to bless those who are different from ourselves, people who even frighten us. The best way to create peace is to become friends, to see the other as a brother or a sister. Does anybody watch Dairy Girls on Netflix by chance? Anyone familiar with Dairy Girls? Oh, I thought maybe some of you guys were. Well, I'll skip that page of my sermon. Some people are just not admitting that they watch Dairy Girls. I've watched a few episodes, and there's one episode. It takes place, four girls and a boy, who go to an all-girl Catholic school, and it's during the time of the political conflict in Northern Ireland, so it's in the 90s. And so as a peacekeeping, or a peace, promoting peace idea, the school decides that they're going to have a weekend away, and so they invite the class of boys from the Protestant school to spend a weekend with the girls from the Catholic school, and they would try to find some common ground. So the priest that is there, and he's trying very hard to get these kids to focus on things that are similar and not how different they are, he sits them all down. He's like, okay, now we're going to talk about blah, blah, blah. And there's two chalkboards, so there's, how we're similar and then how we're different. All right, and so it's like, oh, okay, so-and-so, can you tell us some ways that we're all similar? And so, of course, none of them can find any way that they're alike. But the chalkboard that has all the differences, I'm not sure if it was this side or this side of me, differences, it was just full of differences. Like, they watch these television shows, they wear this color socks, they go to these kinds of football games, et cetera. So it was chalkboards full of differences. Of course, the similarities was completely empty. Well, a fight breaks out, kind of like a fist fight between the two of them, and so then they have to pull in the parents of these kids. And the parents, they're all going after their kids in the next scene, going, how dare you act like that? And so they're just chewing their kids out. I didn't raise you to act that way. And so it's just this chaotic scene of all the parents yelling at their kids. And one girl got up, and she walked up to the similarity chalkboard and wrote, parents. And I thought that really brought it home. They're so different, but we all have parents. And we all have families. And we all have friends. And we all want to be loved. And we all are at our best when we are loving other people. And we all want to have a purpose. And we all want to have a reason to get up in the morning. And we're all human. We're all equally loved by God. So we as Christians, we are spiritual descendants of Abraham, through Christ, called to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing to people who scare us, who make us uncomfortable, to people from cultures we don't understand. Our job as Christians is to work tirelessly for reconciliation on all levels. And this being the time of self-examination during the time of Lent, here at Scotts Kirk Lausanne, we are greatly blessed by God. We have this beautiful building. We have the St. Andrew's House next door. We've been blessed by the hard work and foresight of the people who came before us. We're very blessed by our location here in Lausanne, our minister, our friends, and our family, and all the friends that become family after a little while. We're blessed with our talents and our hopes and our passions. So what are we doing to be a blessing to others, to Lausanne in our church? We've got the Bring and Buy Books, we've got the Open Doors, we've got the Soup Lunch, we've given gift bags to the homeless. So we are doing things, we are showing signs of being a blessing to Lausanne. But it's time of Lent, and we have to now think about this and reflect, how can we build on that? It's time to pause and ask God to help us to see what we can do more, to not be so comfortable, to open our eyes up and we look at people, at situations, in communities with the eyes of Jesus, to shed our indifference, to use our creativity and find fresh ways to be a blessing and work for justice and to love mercy and to walk with God humbly. As a part of Lent, it's time to also ask God to help us examine our own hearts, us personally, and where we're called to be a blessing. So how are we doing? How are you doing? How am I doing in my call? What invisible walls am I constructing? Walls that I'm not even aware of. We have to think about this. What walls are we constructing? We don't realize it between us and maybe even people inside of our church family. What walls have we constructed between ourselves and the neighbors that we live next to? Or the colleagues that we work with? Or maybe people who are voting different political parties? People who frighten us, who we just don't like that much? At a time when the world seems so dangerously polarized, we need to work even harder to not fall into this trap of defining them and us. Because it's dehumanizing. It dehumanizes people and it continues to build the walls, and we cannot be a blessing. Every time that we draw a line, this is also something I heard in Israel, every time we draw a line, them and us, Christ is on the other side. Christ is with who we define as them. With Christ, we can find a way to overcome our fears and to become friends with those who are different. And in doing so, we will work to fulfill our responsibility of being a blessing to others, to all people who are within our realm of contact every day. Imagine if all of Abraham's children in Israel-Palestine lived their calling of passing on their blessing to all people. What would the world look like if all three faiths dismantled the visible and invisible walls that separate us, so that when we look at each other in the eyes, we see a brother and a sister. We see a friend. It would be an absolute game changer for the entire world and all present conflicts. If it could be done in Israel-Palestine, it can be done anywhere. As in South Africa and Ireland and Rwanda, where there is a measure of forgiveness and reconciliation, has made some impact, but it can be done there too. The three faiths would begin to fulfill their call as a blessing. And this blessing the world needs so terribly badly. And likewise, us as a church and as individuals, especially during the season of Lent, let's ask God to identify inside of ourselves our own walls that separate us from others. And ask God to show us the way to actively be a blessing to all people who cross our paths. Doing that with God, as it says in our passage from Romans, God will call into being what was not there. Doing this with God, He will call into being what was not there. The creator of the universe and humankind, who conquered death at his resurrection, will call into being peace, love, forgiveness, reconciliation, and most of all, hope into our lives. He will refresh our souls. He will transform us, breathe life into all the fearful and dead areas of our lives. Praise be to God.